Welcome back to His Time. It is 8:45 on Friday, December 20th, and it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, my brothers.
Good to have you with us this morning. I panicked there in the last moment. I thought, I bet Pastor Wirth usually calls the 800 number, and it's not working this morning. We better make sure that we could get in touch with him. So glad that we got it worked out and got you on the line this morning. Good to have you with us. Creation Club, you got a just before Christmas Creation Club lined up for us today, huh?
We do. We do. The first item I'd like to talk about today is the Christmas star, or the Star of Bethlehem. You know, this time of year, lots of people go to planetariums and see the shows about the Christmas star, or a lot of churches these days are using a DVD called The Star of Bethlehem that was produced by a man by the name of Fred Larson back in 2007, and a lot of people see that and are pretty impressed by what they see. They often realize that it's a mistake to try to find a natural explanation for a miraculous event. And that's one of the things I like to remind people this time of year. So if you are watching a TV special or a planetarium special at your local science center, or you even go to your men's morning Bible class and they show the Star of Bethlehem and you say, wow, I mean, this man's figured out a lot of things. Why, this has to have to do with the Star of Bethlehem, and this has to do with the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and they come up with these elaborate explanations of what the Star of Bethlehem could have been. And it's a mistake to try to find a naturalistic explanation for a miraculous event, particularly when you have to place fast and loose with the biblical text. And that's often the case here. So what's going on often, you know, even going back to the time of Kepler, you know, people were trying to figure out, well, what was the Star of Bethlehem? What was this star that we read about in Matthew chapter 2?
And that we sing about.
And that we sing about, and that led the wise men to find the infant Jesus and to come and worship him and bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And, you know, people have talked about, well, maybe it was a triple conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. And, you know, there's that and other kinds of things. There was a supernova, and people are able, you know, it's amazing that there is computer software out there to show you what the heavens would have looked like, or probably did look like, back at some date in history, because scientists have been able to track the apparent motions of the celestial bodies, and, you know, with mathematical formulae and so forth, they can say, well, then if you go back 500 years, then this is what you would have seen. And we know, we've studied things like solar eclipses and lunar eclipses and the apparent motions of the planets from the standpoint of someone standing on the surface of planet Earth. And they've been studied long enough, and people have carefully recorded what they've seen and worked the math on these things, that you can actually do that. And so you can say, wow, you know, at such and such a date in history, you know, within a few years of when Jesus was born, you know, there would have been a triple conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn, or there was a supernova that occurred on this year. And if we would just readjust this and readjust that in the Bible, then maybe this could explain why they saw what they did and da-da-da. But, you know, none of those natural explanations actually fit what the Bible says the wise men actually saw. The fact of this star appearing, and then apparently for a while they didn't see it, and then again they did see it again. And when they finally do see it, after they've been to Jerusalem and asked, you know, where is the one who was born King of the Jews, what does the Bible text say? Well, it says that after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, you know, this is an important thing. You have to stick with what God says and not say, well, you know, I prefer my own ideas to what God says. You know, what God says describes something that does not really fit the bill when you're talking about a supernova or even a triple conjunction of planets. amassing of planets. There are several different things that are discussed as possibilities there, and it just really doesn't cut it. You know, God obviously did something totally out of the ordinary here, and God can do that. He's God. He has the power, and in his grace and wisdom, he can do that, and he obviously made some kind of miraculous celestial beacon that guided these men, not just in the general direction of Israel, but finally, you know, it led them, and it says that it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And no natural phenomenon will really do that. And so what I would urge our listeners who have maybe seen this DVD, The Star of Bethlehem, or have seen a planetarium show or a TV show that impressed them, is if you go to answersingenesis.org and then in the search field type in Star of Bethlehem DVD, and there's an article, an excellent article written there by Dr. Danny Faulkner, who is an astronomer, and he also works with Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum. And it's an evaluation of the Star of Bethlehem DVD. And there he goes point by point through the history of people trying to explain the Star of Bethlehem by natural means, and then also what's talked about in this particular DVD that many churches show this time of year. And he answers it point by point and shows why that's not the explanation for this. And it's a very well done article that answers that very common inclination that people have to try to find a natural explanation for this miracle. And it's just as much a mistake to try to find a natural explanation for the Star of Bethlehem as it is for liberals to try to explain away, for example, the miracles in connection with the Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea, manna on the desert for the children of Israel to eat, and so on. There are, throughout history, there have been, especially since the time of rationalism, people have tried to explain away the miracles of the Bible. Of course, even the virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus, if people don't want to believe that that's the miracle that God says it is, as is reported in the Bible, they're trying to find some other explanation, which ultimately undermines the gospel itself. You know, we believe that the God who saved us, who is this God who created us, and the God who is our creator and our redeemer is able to do far more than we can even ask or imagine. And, you know, the things that he does, some of these things are totally unique. I mean, many of the miracles of the Bible are totally unique, because you're not going to find another example of this anywhere. And so nowhere else in history, nowhere else in nature are you going to find a human being born of a virgin. And yet the Bible reports that's what happened in the case of Jesus Christ, and that miracle cannot be explained away by some natural thing.
The fact that we have the scriptures is somewhat miraculous.
Absolutely. Surely. The inspiration of scripture is itself. What a miracle. And as people go to church this coming Sunday, and they hear many of the churches will be reading from Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew's account of how the birth of Jesus happened. It's interesting that, you know, they will hear Matthew quoting from the prophet Isaiah. And notice what he says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and then we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that amazing? The Lord said this through the prophet. So as you were saying, yeah, the scriptures are unique. They are the divinely given word of God. God spoke through men like Isaiah and told hundreds of years in advance what was to happen, particularly this great miracle that a virgin should give birth to a son who is God with us. Astonishing. And that he should then be the one who would be also called Jesus, who will take away your sins. Wow. This is this wonderful, miraculous thing. So when people say, how can you believe in a six-day creation? I say, well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that a virgin gave birth to a son who is true God and true man. By the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel, I believe that this one, Jesus of Nazareth, died for my sins and the sins of all human beings who ever did live or ever will live. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that this Jesus of Nazareth rose from the dead on the third day just the way God said it would happen when he spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets in the Old Testament. It came to be.
And, very good.
You know, he forgives your sins and my sins by grace through faith. What a miracle. All kinds of miracles we celebrate in this holy Christian season, Christmas season. And not only that a virgin should conceive and so forth, but that we should believe it. You know, that's a miracle too, isn't it? That
absolutely.
It's not my own reason or strength, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit who works that miracle of repentance, the miracle of faith in our hearts.
We've got just a couple minutes left, about 2 minutes left, and I know we've got a couple of other stories that we'd like to take a look at. Dinosaurs certainly always come up, and I know that here in the St. Louis area, there's a big expo going on or a big event going on this weekend out in the St. Charles area, I think, involving animated dinosaur-like creatures or replicas of dinosaurs. But our next story, I see a duck-billed dinosaur fossil with a crest was found. Is that correct?
That's right. In the journal Current Biology, the issue that was published on December 12th, there's an article about duck-billed dinosaurs, which that's nothing new. They've been finding fossils of duck-billed dinosaurs for some time. They were large, two-legged plant eaters, and when they find their skulls, they appear to have a kind of a duck-billed kind of shape to their nozzle. But in this particular specimen that's very well preserved, it's not just a skeleton, actually it's kind of a mummified fossil that they found that even shows the scales and so forth. As they were trying to extricate the fossil from the matrix around it, they discovered that on the top of the head, it appeared that there had been a crest. And they don't think it was a bony crest, they think it was kind of a fleshy crest. And the article then says duck-billed dinosaurs had fleshy headgear similar to rooster's combs. And the articles talk about this, and the specimen is Edmontosaurus regalis, fancy name for this particular specimen. And again, they think it was kind of a fleshy crest. And it's interesting to me that they do a lot of speculation about this and wonder if all kinds of other dinosaurs maybe had crests too, and we just don't know it because a fleshy part ordinarily doesn't fossilize. And so, like if you found a skeleton of an elephant or a mastodon, the trunk and the tail, well, the tail fossilizes because there's bones in the tail, but the trunk does not. There are no bones in the trunk, and so you wouldn't know that these creatures had trunks if you didn't know that they were, of the elephant kind, and if you didn't find the fossil evidence. So here they found a crest, and it's astonishing to them, but they compare it to birds. But actually, they didn't have to compare it to birds because there are already known living reptilian creatures today that have crests, all kinds of them. Think about iguanas, chameleons, and so forth. So this, while this is a first of its kind find in regard to this dinosaur kind, really, you don't need to compare it to birds. You could easily compare it to what we find in certain reptiles that live today. So anyway, sometimes they have a hidden agenda. They're wanting to say birds evolved from dinosaurs, which isn't true, but that's another day's topic.
They're created by God and gifts from God. Pastor
Absolutely.
Worth, always good to talk with you with Creation Club on Fridays. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
And a blessed Christmas to you. And
you as well.
We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Very good. God bless.
God's blessings. Coming up in the next hour, we'll join together for morning prayer.